Hare Krishna. Today I gave Bhagavatam class in Budapest, which is where I am. And I'm beginning a series of classes on the age of Kali. Actually, it will be on the symptoms of the age of Kali, the deterioration of qualities caused by Kali Yuga. And I had earlier consulted with the leaders in Hungary, because I was thinking of, at least in terms of my being able to present more planned and cohesive classes, that rather than following the class schedule that different temples have, I was going to do what Srila Prabhupada also did, which is he had a series of classes that were placed in the Bhagavatam where he was lecturing from, and when he would go to a temple, then he would just continue from there. Generally, that was Prabhupada's practice. And I particularly wanted to focus on those parts of the Bhagavatam that Hungarian devotees haven't yet read or heard about, which is those parts that have been translated, particularly 11th and 12th canto. In 11th canto, I wanted to concentrate on Uddhava Gita, which is a very important part of Bhagavatam, and something that I've been sort of studying and concentrating, although admittedly I need a little more time to really sort of prepare. It's so big. It's like preparing for the Bhagavad Gita. And in the meantime, the verses dealing with the symptoms of the age of Kali are very important, very instructive, and relatively quite short. So today we started the first of that, and I didn't really get to the verse itself, verse 1. Tata chanugidam dharmam satya socha kshamadaya kaina balima rajam vangsushayu balim smiti. But rather, I gave a little introductory talk, which was to really just emphasize the nature of Kali Yuga and how we as devotees really need to prepare ourselves and equip ourselves for the fight against the influence of the age, and if we don't do that, then neither we succeed individually as devotees or as a mission. Kali Yuga is a terrible, terrible age, because we're conditioned to it. Therefore, we can even say things like, how are things? Oh, not so bad. Or things are going well. There's no chance that things are going well in Kali Yuga. I wouldn't say the last 10 years, probably since I became interested in spiritual subject matter, I've always bumped into a group of people who somehow or another had this idea that things will get better. It's the age of Aquarius, and spirituality is going to be unfolding. Well, if you read the same headlines that I read, they don't seem to be much spirituality unfolding anywhere. Rather, people are just discovering different ways to torture each other and destroy the world. as Krishna also himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Satyam Apadishtam Tejavada Uranishwaram. And this is not a symptom of spirituality. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a hoarse throat. But these are symptoms of demons. And unfortunately, that's what Kali Yuga is transforming. Innocent people, well, not so innocent, because we're carrying a lot of karma with us, and that's of our own doing, but still relatively innocent people, Prabhupada would use that term, transforming them into demons, people who behave in demoniac ways. We abort our own children, we eat our mother the cow, we have unrestricted habits of all sorts. Of course, more about that when we talk about the symptoms of the age of Kali. And increased suffering going on throughout the world. So there's no question that things are going well. Rather, the world is going to hell. And in fact, it's becoming hell. It's not that they have to go anywhere for it. It's happening right here in front of our own eyes. And iPads and iPhones and waterbeds and so on don't really change the story very much. At least not if we open our eyes. And that's what we as devotees are meant to do. We're meant to open our eyes, and our eyes need to be open about the reality of what's going on around us. And the only real good thing that there is Kirtana Veda Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Param Rajat Kalayar Dosha Nidhi Rajam. It's an ocean of bad faults and bad qualities, and the only good thing is chanting Hare Krishna. That's the only thing that can save us and that can save people. And in order for us to actually achieve our mission, we need to be first saving ourselves. That doesn't mean that we need to be situated in our eternal constitutional position or our swarup before we can preach, but it does mean that we need to be chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in such a way that the effects of Kali Yuga will be neutralized and the bad qualities purified. And that means you have to chant offensively. So Thakur Bhaktivinoda explains this in great detail, that to counteract the influence of Kali Yuga, offenseless chanting is required. And that means we need to first change those qualities, those influences upon ourselves. And if we do that, then we'll be able to do that on the environment, on the world around us, by chanting on the streets, by distributing books, by distributing prasadam, distributing the holy name, by our preaching and preaching efforts, we will be able to push back that ocean of bad qualities. And that analogy of an ocean is really very apt. It's like it's like if you dike back, or you hold back the ocean with a dike or a big dam, your job isn't finished. The ocean's always there. One is always under threat. The threat never goes away. And unless you're very, very careful with the dam, just the smallest hole, and immediately catastrophe. So it's not that Kali's going anywhere. If we keep him at bay within ourselves and in our environment, in the city, town, world around us, then he'll always be looking for any opportunity to attack, just as he did with Maharaj Parikit. Can't make peace. It's a good topic to be discussing, if I remember for that tomorrow. is how Maharaj Parikshit, he thought that he could give shelter to Kali. But there's no question of trusting him, because as soon as he did, immediately Kali came in with a vengeance. And so how is it that we're meant to be counteracting the effect of Kali within ourselves? By chanting nicely. And in order to chant nicely, Sukirtananu, then one requires the blessings of those type of spiritual practices which are characteristic of the mode of goodness. One has to live in goodness. And living in goodness means that we are very much aware of our duties, our dharma, the values that we're meant to live by, and recognize that if there's any slip in our particular values, then that will always give Kali an opportunity to come in. So, for instance, of course, Srila Prabhupada gave us four very general and basic principles that we were obliged to follow. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. If one follows and is very careful about these, then there will be great effect in one's chanting. But if you're negligent in this, then it won't work. In fact, it was very interesting. Just recently, it must have been a letter or somewhere, where some devotee was pointing out some particular problem that they were having, and Srila Prabhupada just responded by asking, "Are you following the principles?" Because such a problem will come up if one is not following principles. Similarly, for any type of success in the world, to achieve anything, either material or spiritual, we have to be very careful to always ensure that we're sticking by those principles that are incumbent upon us. And there are different principles of dharma, dharma of one's work, occupation, varna, how to do service, one's ashram, there's dharma of males, dharmas of females, dharma of children, dharma of teachers, dharma of guru, dharma of disciples, Vaishnava dharma, so many different types of things. And it's not that when Krishna says sarva dharma pratyaja, he's telling us to throw out all of these dharmas, not at all. But rather the Ashtanga Yoga Dharma, Jnana Yoga Dharma, Hatha Yoga Dharma, Karma Yoga, Sakama Karma Yoga. You don't need to practice these in a systematic development or evolution in order to attain ultimately Bhakti Yoga, as Krishna says, that Bahunam Janmanam Ante Vasudeva Savamati. But just start with the Bhakti Yoga, and that Bhakti Yoga starts by surrendering to Krishna or Sharanagati. So if you can surrender, then all those other dharmas, but not, Krishna is not telling us to reject the dharma of a, for instance, sannyasi. You can see how strict Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. Chota Haridas, not even really officially a sannyasi, although sort of living like one, but just for a transgression, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely rejected him. And it was a minor transgression in sannyas dharma. Lord Chaitanya wanted to point out that no, sannyasis can't just give up all other duties and think, well, I've surrendered to Krishna, so I can do anything, I can mix intimately with women, or they have to follow. Similarly, with Srila Prabhupada's emphasis that half of his mission he left for us to establish, which is establishing Varnashram, it doesn't mean everyone needs to head off to some farm or farming community, although that's part of it. It means that everyone needs to start by recognizing what is my dharma, what are my duties and responsibilities according to how I'm living in this world, and what are those duties and responsibilities not according to whatever host culture I've been raised in, but according to what Krishna says, what Bhagavatam says, what Bhagavad Gita says, and if we're following that and applying that within our lives, within our homes, within our families, our service, our work, then we will be able to actually chant Hare Krishna properly and practice devotional service properly. And by doing that, we will become protected from the effect of Kali Yuga. And then we can also preach that we're telling people, yes, people need to reestablish principles of truth, nonviolence, mercy, and so on. These things which are all just flowing away into endless ocean of sinful life and sinful activity. People need to live by these values, and if they don't live by these values, they can call themselves as religious as they want, but they'll also continue to go to hell along with their so-called religious beliefs. It's not enough just to profess some type of religious, but one has to live by values. As Srila Prabhupada was very fond of, was talking to his Christian counterparts of emphasizing, but it says, thou shalt not kill. And how do you expect to become a successful religious person if your whole life is based upon committing violence to other innocent, helpless creatures? And that's what it means to follow principles of dharma. And we want to reestablish that. And when people hear this type of preaching, that yes, we're not making compromise with values, but we want people to reassert values in their life, and by chanting Hare Krishna, they will be empowered to do so. And by following those values, then their chanting will be more empowered. Then we'll be performing our our duty as members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement and pleasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a battle, it's a war, and we should not make the example of Parikshit Maharaj's, where there's no hope of making peace with Kali. Even though Krishna came to make peace, even though Yudhisthira Maharaj offered so many times to try to make peace with Duryodhana, it was a waste of time, and it wouldn't have been any good anyway. He was not to be trusted. Similarly, Kali is not to be trusted, and we shouldn't think that things are fine. Things are not fine. Things are horrible. But things are only fine, and things are fine when we're chanting Hare Krishna with great faith and devotion. And if we do that, then things can be fine for people of the world, at least if they're really vigilant to be faithful to the process of devotional service, to recognize that they've got a really dangerous adversary around them who's ready to slit their throats at any time, that they really stick to those principles of dharma that and important for us to actually really be called devotees, human beings. Srila Prabhupada once said to an acquaintance when one of his devotees was caught stealing in Loy Bazaar, and Prabhupada said, "What can I do? All my disciples are 10th class men." So since Shudras are considered the 4th class men, then where does 10th class come in? So we shouldn't become 10th class men. We should first become 1st class men. Brahminical, Prabhupada wanted us to learn how to practice and reincorporate Brahminical culture in our own lives. Hare Krishna.